This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. A bill in the Kentucky General Assembly would make fluoridation optional for Kentucky water systems. Those who support the measure argue it's a question of local control. Those who oppose it say passage of the bill would be a step in the wrong direction for the Commonwealth's dental health. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about the legislation is Kentucky State Representative Mark Hart, a Republican from Falmouth. Welcome to the program, Representative Hart.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we really appreciate your being here. Tell me, what prompted you to introduce this bill?
I guess about 6 years ago. About 6 years ago, I had a constituent of mine who's a nurse during her pregnancy started learning about fluoridation in the water and the effects, the negative effects it could have on the fetus and the unborn child. And she started doing some research, and she found her research alarming, and she brought it to my attention of some of the unforeseen or unintended effects of fluoridated water to the unborn child with brain development and overall development of its intellectual abilities. So with that, I done a little bit of research, and from that, we developed a bill that we thought that could maybe help combat this problem a little bit. And the original bill is what we have today. And instead of trying to ban fluoride, you know, I've used fluoride for years. I've drank the tap water over in Kentucky all my life that's been fluoridated since the 1960s. It's been mandated since the 1960s in our water system. So I'm not against fluoride, but as I've learned what the negative effects could be, it's really gave me some concern and gave me some pause. Well, should we have fluoride in our water or shouldn't we? But because, you know, as a Republican, I'm for less government and less bureaucratic red tape, so to speak. I thought, you know, the best people to make that decision was the people that are drinking the water, the people in the communities. So we drafted a bill. And this is the bill that we passed out of committee in the House that would take away the state mandate to fluoride or put fluoride in the water system, and it would take it back to a local level or to local control. And basically, the water districts or the municipalities that are cleaning and producing the water could make the decision whether or not to put fluoride in or not. And, you know, my little catchphrase that I've used over the years promoting this: let the people drinking the water decide what goes into it.
Let me ask you this. The CDC has named community water fluoridation one of the 10 great public health achievements of the 20th century. Do you see that at all as an argument for keeping the fluoridation requirement in Kentucky?
Well, that comment in and of itself raises questions for me. And I don't have the data in front of me, but it's really easy to Google and find this out. But Kentucky is rated as one of the states with the best water fluoridation in the country. They started putting it in the water around 1954. It became a mandate in the 60s, I think around 66. So we've been doing it. I'm 55 years old, so they've been fluoridating the water in Kentucky my entire life. But when you look at the data with the states with the best to the worst oral health in our country, Kentucky, I think, is 48 or 49. So if it really does what the CDC and the American Dental Association and the Kentucky Dental Association say it does, then shouldn't we be ranked higher on that scale? Because states without mandated fluoride are higher on that scale than we are. So to me, that comment raises a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but hearing what some of these people who've testified about this have said, my impression is they're saying, well, you know, heck, we could be a lot worse off if we didn't have this mandate. And that part of the problem, I know that the University of Kentucky's Center of Excellence in Rural Health issued a Kentucky Dental Workforce Report late last year. It found that five Kentucky counties have no practicing dentists. And aren't some of these people saying, hey, it's, you know, some of our problems are based on this, that we don't have dentists everywhere. It's not, you know, the fluoride isn't the magic silver bullet that can solve all these problems, but that it's a kind of a tool in the tool chest. Did you hear any of that kind of argument during testimony?
Yeah, I've heard that. And you know, I think there's probably a myriad of issues that that causes Kentucky to be on the low end of the scale when it comes to the best oral health in the country. We have some of the highest ratios of dental caries and cavities and stuff in the nation. But I think what you just mentioned about the lack of dentists in some areas, the lack of a lot of times it might be the lack of resources. You know, in some of our rural areas in rural Kentucky and eastern western Kentucky, where people are struggling to make ends meet, you know, it might be sometimes that they're deciding whether or not, am I going to buy toothpaste or am I going to buy something for my kids to eat? Now, that might be a little bit of an over-exaggeration, but I think there's so many factors that would have to that need to be taken into place before you can make the statement like they do that fluoride is key, is the best oral health tool that they've had to fight cavities, which the data to me, I don't see it. And just going off of my, you know, I grew up in Kentucky and middle class. I drank fluoridated water my entire life. I used fluoride toothpaste and stuff. And I still got a mouthful of cavities, and I've had my problems with oral health. And if fluoridating the water was truly helping the situation, I think you would see some of these numbers and stuff trending upwards instead of downwards like they are now.
You know, doctors and dentists have argued that water fluoridation has helped reduce the number of cavities, certainly hasn't eliminated them altogether, but has helped reduce the number of cavities that children and adults get, and that it's less expensive than the cost of fillings and other dental problems. What do you think about that?
I don't really know. But I do know that if it did accomplish that, then why is Kentucky 49th? In the nation when it comes to the best oral health? I mean, we're at the bottom. There's only one of the, we're at the bottom of the list. So you would think if it really prevented cavities and helped like they keep professing it does, why aren't we higher on that?
Do you have any concerns that if fluoride becomes optional and some water systems decide not to add it, that, you know, health problems could get even worse?
I really don't think our oral health in our state could get worse. We've got bad oral health. It's a fact. And I know our dental community works very hard every day to fight that and combat that. But I think it's more of a lack of resources in some of these areas for people than it truly is water fluoridation. So I'm not, and I do believe that, you know, We try to take a practical approach to the bill, and I don't want, as a legislator, I don't want to tell you whether or not you should use fluoride or not. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a dentist. I'm not a oral health professional. So that the decision of whether or not using fluoride is right for you, that needs to be a decision made between you and your dentist and your healthcare providers, mm-hmm. not the legislature. So my approach with my bill was let's undo the state mandate and make it a local decision. Mm-hmm. And that's all my legislation does. Of course, the argument is turned in to whether we're for or against fluoride. And I don't mind talking about that. But really, truly, that's not what my bill does. Mm-hmm. In an area that's considering removing fluoride from the water, at that time, the local water district board or the local municipality that owns and operates the utility, they need to have some public hearings and let people come in and testify for and against. Talk to true doctors and true dentists and get their opinions. But the dental community, from my take, is kind of split on this. Although publicly, the associations like the American Dental Association, Kentucky Dental Association, their position and their combined response is fluoride works. We don't need to remove it. But when I talk to dentists on an individual level, most of them leave me with the impression it's not an issue for them, because if they need to prescribe fluoride for their patients, there's a million other ways that they can do it instead of relying on fluoride in the water system.
Well, let me ask you this. We're recording this interview, and it's before the end of the legislative session, which I know is a very hectic time. If your bill doesn't make it through the process this session, is this something you plan to introduce again in the future?
Yes. I honestly think we've run out of time this session, but I've already drafted the bill to be ready to file next year, because I do believe we probably ran out of time for this session.
Okay.
So I do not think it'll pass this session.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate your time. I've been talking with Kentucky State Representative Mark Hart, a Republican from Falmouth. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Up next, we'll hear from a Louisville pediatrician who opposes the bill. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We continue our discussion on a bill in the Kentucky General Assembly that would make fluoridation optional for Kentucky water systems. We just spoke to the sponsor. We're joined now in this recorded interview by University of Louisville Division of Pediatric Emergency Medicine pediatrician, Dr. Britt Anderson, who's raising concerns about this legislation. Welcome, Dr. Anderson.
Thank you.
What is your position on this bill that would make fluoride optional for Kentucky water systems?
Yeah, I have some serious concerns about this bill. In line with the American Academy of Pediatrics, and actually every major health organization, think that community water fluoridation programs are a really safe and effective way to protect dental health.
And there are a few water systems that are supporting this bill. What do you make of that?
So I think that water fluoridation has been, I know that water fluoridation has been controversial despite its proven benefits. And I think it is important to ask questions about health and safety for our public health measures. But fortunately, water fluoridation is been used for decades. And so it's one of the most well-studied public health interventions we have. And therefore, I think that it is, the evidence shows that it is safe and highly effective. And so I have serious concerns about taking fluoride out of the water on the dental health of people that live in those places.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, you know, fluoride's been in water for decades. There have also been, you know, concerns for decades. There have been studies that make claims about whether too much fluoride in water or consumed by kids has an impact on IQ in children. What do you think of those?
Yeah. Again, I think it is so reasonable to ask questions, but then we have to use the best available evidence that we have to make these really important decisions. We know the benefits of fluoride in community water sources is clear. We know that fluoride reduces dental decay in children and adults, and is really important for dental health. These questions about IQ have been raised, though there are serious methodologic concerns with many of the studies that are cited. We do know that these studies have been reviewed by major organizations, including the National Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine, that have not found clear and compelling evidence that there is any association.
How long has Kentucky required fluoridation in the water?
Oh, gosh, it has been decades. So, across the U.S., it's been used in different places for up to 70 years. You know, I believe it was in the mid 20th century that we started doing it in many places in Kentucky.
Yeah. What has requiring fluoride in the water meant for oral health in Kentucky? Can you give us a sense for what oral health in Kentucky was like before fluoride and after?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that the CDC actually lists community water fluoridation as one of the top 10 public health advances of the 20th century. It was that impactful in reducing dental decay. And so fluoride in general is credited with why fewer people need dentures, why more folks have more natural teeth. And so that we know this is huge. Of course, fluoride isn't the only part of dental health. There's a lot of other factors: nutrition, brushing your teeth, regular dental visits. And we know that dental health is still a major struggle for many people, particularly in the state of Kentucky. In fact, nationwide, dental decay is the most common chronic disease of childhood. So it's still a major issue. So, you know, I have real concerns about going back on something that we know is helping protect people's teeth.
You mentioned that Kentucky still has challenges when it comes to oral health. Do you have a sense for where Kentucky ranks in terms of oral health in the country?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends what metrics you're looking at and what time, but I know that we are not high on the list of states doing well with oral health.
Yeah.
And it's a real concern. And it's something that we see in kids, you know, young kids already struggling with dental decay, which is really awful. You know, it's painful. You can get infections. This can lead to, you know, parents and folks missing work, kids missing school. We just it's really a still a major issue that we deal with here.
So you mentioned that, you know, fluoride isn't the only thing, kind of weapon in the arsenal when it comes to oral health. But with Kentucky having required fluoride for all these decades, why do you think the state still struggles so much?
Yeah, it's you make the analogy of like a car accident. It'd be like choosing, do you want a seatbelt or an airbag? The answer is you want both. You know, we need layers of protection. And so I think that there are a lot of other opportunities to improve dental health in our state. Dental hygiene, access to regular dental care, watching the sugary foods that we intake. But we don't want to take away something that is providing some protection, which is the fluoride in the water. And the nice thing about community water fluoridation programs is it can reach everybody. So folks that may have trouble accessing a dentist or accessing nutrition that's good for teeth, certainly another issue that we should talk about another time, but the fluoride in the water can reach them. So it's something that can reach across the state to protect people's teeth.
You mentioned that tooth decay is a big problem for kids especially. What are some of the worst impacts of tooth decay for children and adults?
Oh, goodness. You know, so there's so many issues. I think pain, you know, how do you measure that? Anybody that's had a toothache knows what terrible pain that is. And it's just heartbreaking to see kiddos in the emergency department with pain. They can get abscesses, they can get really serious infections, sometimes that require hospitalization. There's a cost to all this, right? So every cavity that's prevented by water fluoridation is dental work that doesn't have to be done, that is expensive too. And so I think there's just so many benefits there.
You know, you just mentioned cost. Some lawmakers have talked about requiring fluoridation as kind of an unfunded mandate. That's how they've characterized it. Do you think there are public costs to not requiring fluoridation?
Yeah, there've been some a number of studies that have looked at this. There is cost to adjusting the fluoride in the water, but it is very small in comparison to the cost of taking it away. Meaning, so of course, fluoride is a naturally occurring mineral in the water. And what these programs do is actually adjust the level, and it's a very small amount. It's 0.7 milligrams per liter of fluoride in the water is the level they bring it to. So there's a small cost associated with monitoring and adjusting that level. But it's been estimated in some studies that the fluoride in the water cuts cavities by up to 25%. And anybody that's had some dental work done or a cavity filled, a root canal, hospitalized with a dental abscess knows that that is incredibly expensive. And so these programs pay for themselves many times over in the savings with the dental work that has to be done.
Do you have any thoughts or a sense for why this bill is coming up now? Why? I mean, as we've talked about, there have been concerns about fluoride for many decades. People have been raising questions for a long time. Do you have any sense for why now this has become an issue in Kentucky at the State House?
That's a really good question, and I don't know. And maybe it's just because I'm out of the loop on some of those conversations at that level. But I think that it's important to reevaluate our community programs, our public health programs. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking these questions. I think we just need to find good information when we make choices like this. And I hope that's what's being done. And I'm happy to contribute to that in any way that I can.
If someone is worried about ingesting too much fluoride because of their drinking water and maybe other things they eat or drink that contain fluoride, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I'd reassure people that, like I mentioned earlier, the amount of fluoride that's in community water sources that are adjusted is very low. It's just at the level to provide dental protection, and that's it. And so you have more fluoride in toothpaste, for example, which is why it's important to monitor little kids that are brushing their teeth and make sure they're not swallowing lots of fluorinated toothpaste. The biggest risk that we think about with having too much fluoride would be fluorosis, which is where you can get little, it's just more cosmetic, get little white specks. Usually they're very even hard to see on the surface of the teeth. And like I said, that tends to be from very young kids that are exposed over a long period of time to higher levels of fluoride, typically very mild, that we see. So.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with University of Louisville Division of Pediatric Emergency Medicine pediatrician Dr. Britt Anderson. Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.